go ahead and get started. Appreciate you guys hopping in here for another episode of Reflections with Dr. Gary Harvey. Got Mr. Ezra Johnson joining us again tonight. Again, appreciate all the love and the support. You guys, if you can, invite somebody in, share it. Definitely appreciate all the love and all the support that you guys have been showing. Definitely increasing listeners and viewers each week, and it's definitely been an exciting time. Always like to shout out, if you haven't already checked them out, Queen BZ Cosmetics. They've launched another line of their matte lipsticks, and then they've already got their glosses or whatever. But those colors, check them out on Facebook. You can check those colors out. Some bold colors, definitely like them. So check them out. And then Living Beauty Florals down there in Jacksonville, Florida. Check her out and her arrangements. Definitely some works of art. Appreciate them. But gonna jump in tonight. Don't want to keep you too long this evening. Want to kind of carry over kind of where we were at last week, talking about the call not being a conference call, and kind of going in the same type of direction tonight. So with tonight's topic, of course, as always, we're gonna take a minute, do a little self-reflecting. We're gonna go ahead and take a look at the mirror, look at the reflection, face the man in the mirror, see if we can't become better than what it was that we started the day as. You know, mirrors got three purposes, right? Show you who you were. Show you who you are, help you become who it is you want to be. So as we jump in tonight, we're going to take a look at that reflection, maybe answer some questions for ourselves, acknowledge some things. But the title for tonight, if we could title it, Stop Putting Dirt on the Potter's Wheel, right? Stop putting dirt on the Potter's Wheel. So as we get into that, I want you to think about that, the differences between dirt and clay. When you try to make a, you know, you think of the potter's wheel and you think of pottery and making those vessels and those vases, you know, you think of clay and you think of it being pliable and moldable, and you know that, you know, it's wet most of the time, and you know that potter is working with that material, as opposed to that pile of grainy, stony dirt generally. So before we get into that, I just kind of want you to create that image in your mind. But Ezra, thank you so much for joining us tonight. How you doing? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I didn't hear what you broke up.
Oh man, I'm over this weather and I'm over this internet, to be honest with you. Say hello to the people.
What's up, guys?
To the people.
Dr. Harvey, I appreciate it. All is well over here.
Outstanding. So yeah, you guys, we're talking about, you know, not putting, you know, stop putting dirt on the potter's wheel. You know, a lot of times we try to present ourselves, we try to rush our process in life. We tend to be very impatient, and we fail to realize that there is a process to what happens. And you guys know me, if you've been listening for any length of time, or maybe if you're new and not familiar with me, you know, my faith is very, very key, very centered to the things that I do. And being actively involved in ministry, being a minister myself, scripture is something that I lean on very heavily. And with that being said, you know, if you take a look at Jeremiah and you look at the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, is a passage where, you know, God tells Jeremiah, he tells the prophet, he says, hey, get up, go down to the potter's house. I'm going to show you something. He goes down to the potter's house and he sees the potter working with a lump of clay. And he says, as he watches the potter, that lump of clay, he's making a vessel. And it says that the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. And that word marred there, if you study it out, it talks about it was essentially crushed. He smashes it down and he starts over, right? And there's a lot of different ways that you can look at that passage of scripture, but I want to focus on the process itself. Now, that lump of clay that the potter is working with didn't start as a lump of clay, right? It didn't start as the material that was going to be used by the potter. Before it became the clay, it started as that soil, as that dirt, as something in the ground that had to be excavated, it had to be removed, it had to be dug up. And the same thing is true in our lives. When we first start the journey of our process and start the path for our purpose, we're not yet that material that can be molded into the vessel. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, when you finally decided to become or to walk out your purpose, you weren't ready to walk out your purpose. You weren't ready to be that thing. Like if you think back in kindergarten, I know one of the things I was, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? right? That's the common question. What did you want to be when you grew up, Ezra?
Yeah.
What did you want to be?
I wanted to be a police officer.
You wanted to be a police officer when you grew up? Yeah?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I wanted to be a chemist. Like, not a scientist. Like, a lot of kids are like, oh, I want to be a scientist. No, I wanted to be a chemist when I grew up, specifically a chemist. I said, hey, Jesse, hey, Bridget, how you guys doing? That was what I wanted to be when I grew up, right? I just, you know, at 6 years old, 7 years old, I wanted to be a chemist. Now, I can definitely say that as I was dug up out of the ground and went through my process of becoming clay, I did not continue along that path. That was definitely not the path I continued along. Why? Because that's not the purpose that I was intended for, right? And so, you know, a lot of times we try to jump into things that we're not intended for. We try to jump into things that we're not built for. We try to jump into things that we're not trained for, prepared for. We try to jump into things that we have no idea what it is that we're doing. And sometimes that's okay. You know, sometimes it works out. Sometimes you have absolutely no qualifications to become the president of the United States and somehow you still pull it off. You know, and you still end up being the president of the United States for 4 years. You know, it happens.
Right.
It, you know, it is what it is. But there is a process that we have to go through. And I think sometimes people think when you think of clay, right? Would you have thought that there's a process that, like, dirt has to go through to become clay that's used to make a vase?
Not something that I would like physically, like, even think about, though. But like, I wouldn't think that there was like a whole process to it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I didn't. Like, when we talk about, or like growing up, right, when in art, did you have to make the bowl? Did you have to make a little clay bowl?
Yeah.
And paint it, bring it home to mom, dad, whatever, and
mask.
You know, what's that?
Clay mask.
Oh, the mask? Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember my bowl was terrible. I think it was more like it held water. That's all I know. It was terrible though. It definitely did not resemble a bowl. You could not eat cereal out of it. It was like lopsided and misshapen. And but
it wasn't chemistry, to be fair though.
No. It was not. And But that lump or stick of clay, because in art class they would give us these like rectangle sticks of like green clay, and I remember thinking to myself, because we would talk about, you know, as a kid you're outside and you're digging in the ground or whatever and you get into the clay, right? You're out there digging in the clay, and even that has to go through a process before you could use it to make a vessel out of it, right?
Right.
You know. Because if it doesn't go through that process, it still has rocks and other materials in it that could cause problems once you form the vessel and try to fire the vessel.
Right.
You know, and flaws and deficiencies and, you know, different things to that effect. And so you have to get those impurities out of it. So there's a process essentially that the dirt has to go through before it can become a usable material. The problem in our lives oftentimes is we try to do different things before we've gone through a process to become a usable material. We try to jump the gun, so to speak. Like in the Christian church, we receive a calling to ministry. And before we go through a process to become a usable material, we try to just jump the gun. And, well, I'm called to preach, so I'm just going to start preaching. I'm called to pastor, so I'm gonna go pastor. And here we are, pastoring a church with no training, no experience, no real understanding of Scripture, just thinking because I'm anointed that, you know, I can go ahead and I can step into my calling. Well, that's not necessarily the truth. You know, no submission to authority, no understanding of authority, no real understanding of scripture, and here I am hurting people.
Right.
You know, and so there's a process that we have to go through in order to truly get to even becoming a usable material before we can become a vessel. So I think oftentimes in our life we get frustrated with that process, right?
For sure. Because like as human beings, we just want to walk before we can crawl, not understanding that there's like a process to. I read this book. It's a good book. It's called Training for Reigning. I don't remember about who it's by, but it just walks you through the steps of how it goes. And so many times, like new Christians, when like you said, it's like everybody gets saved and then their next thing is like, I'm a pastor. Or, like, I'm called to do this. And, like, that may be your calling, but, like, there's a process. There's stuff you got to do. There's studying involved. And there's a lot goes into that. And anointing is, like, part of it. Like, your anointing is a part of it. So you could last, like, it could, like, hold you so far. But there's also, like, the other part of it where it's only going to take you so far.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to move past a certain step. Your anointing's only going to take you so far.
Right. You know, a lot of people are like, you know, especially in the charismatic church, right? You know, I don't need no education. You know, God called me. I'm anointed. That's all I need. Yet the word says to study to show thyself approved. I'm confused. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need a formal education like from, you know, a university or a seminary, Bible college. Like, that's not necessarily what that means. And I'm not one to stand here and say that you have to be, you know, in order to be a preacher or a pastor or, you know, to serve in ministry, that you have to have a formal education. I'm not saying that either. But to not have any type of education, not have any type of study, or to frown upon it, to me, is a dangerous position to be in. You know, and of course, in scripture, we are supposed to submit to authority, to submit to that leadership, to have a covering, you know, so to speak, whether it's an individual or whether it's an organization that we're submitting to, you know, and that's for that checks and balances. And that's spiritually, that's how that works. You know, if you're not operating under a covering, you know, and if you're not submitting to that authority, you're operating under a spirit of rebellion, and a spirit of rebellion is as of witchcraft. And you can't tell me you're hearing from God if that's how you're operating, you know. And that's a whole nother podcast episode. But there is a process that we go through, and not just within the Christian world and within the church, but just in general, there is a process in our life where we go through different things that prepare us for the next step. You know, where we are in our life, our present moment in time has prepared or has been prepared by our past. Everything that we've gone through in our past has prepared us to become the clay. So the way that I look at it is our past is the dirt. We were the dirt in our past, right? And so the dirt, in order to become the clay, has to go through that process where it's sifted. It's gone through that process. And you can either do that with if you study it out and look at it in the natural, it's crushed and beat down till it's really small and it's sifted. Or just how they would pan looking for gold. You know, they would use, you know, with the water in the river and the creeks or whatever, and pan and sift it that way. You know, you go through that in your life, and all these trials and tribulations, these struggles, these lessons that you've learned, and that's your dirt. Your present, that's where you've become that moldable material. And during your present is where you're starting to be shaped, right? You're starting to be turned into that vessel for what that next step is. And you're going through that process. You're becoming that thing. Well, now you hit that roadblock. You made that mistake. You screwed up. You said the wrong thing. You did the wrong thing. Whatever. So that's the moment where in scripture where we see that the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So what? You got to start all over again. The beautiful thing is that clay remained wet and pliable and moldable so that potter can continue to work with it. And I think that's a very important aspect, because regardless of how difficult things get in life, you can continue to keep moving forward as long as you stay teachable. as long as you stay moldable, but you have to be accountable to that lesson. You have to be accountable to that mistake. And you, in order to move forward, I believe, in order to learn, you have to accept that moment of accountability. And I think oftentimes we try to avoid the accountability because it's difficult, you know?
I think in the natural, it's like, it's people get afraid of like a backslide or something, going through something that they get on the wheel, we'll say, and then they make a mistake, so we have to start back from the beginning. But in the natural, it's like they don't want to be like, hey, listen, I messed up, and have that to that accountability person, like you said, submit to somebody. That's one of those things they're there for, so you could have that tough conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And just being coached and taught like how to deal with those kind of situations, know that it's okay to make mistakes, but hey, repent and change from it and don't keep doing the same mistake.
Right.
I think that's where it gets difficult. We think that we can just operate in confusion. And that's why when you spoke about this Sunday night, it just made me instantly think of that Bible verse, like Psalms 139. I didn't even know you were preaching about that, but basically, like, we try and hide things from God, and he already knows. Like, he knows everything we've done. Like, he knows it before we even think it. So he knows what we're going to do. It's like we try and hide what we do from God when he already knows, instead of just repenting, moving forward, and then going in the right direction and seeking counsel to know how to deal with those things.
Right.
And then get back on track.
Right. And I mean, you can even take it, you know, let's take it outside of the church perspective, right? Let's talk about it just life, somebody who isn't a Christian, who doesn't rely on their faith. And, you know, just having someone to hold you accountable. Now, a lot of people think that, okay, yeah, you mess up, and even in the church, right? Oh, I mess up. Oh, I've repented, whatever. It was a mistake. I've been held accountable. That doesn't mean that there's no consequences. Like, there may be consequences, and sometimes consequences may be severe. Unfortunately. Like, that's an unfortunate part of life. But even through the consequences, you can still make progress. You can still make steps. And I think it's important that we begin to have hard conversations with each other, you know, especially as men. As men, we have to have hard conversations with each other. We have to have hard conversations about how we are with ourselves. We have to have hard conversations with how we are about our mental health, how we address it within our communities, within our families, with how we address our kids. With how we are, you know, in the workplace. Like, you know, as men, we have to have hard conversations with how we address things, how we carry ourselves, how we handle relationships. You know, as men, we grow up and, you know, we're told, you know, oh, you don't cry, you're a man, don't cry, don't show your emotion, you know, and then we end up in a relationship and, you know, our significant other is telling us that they want us to, you know, they wish that we would express ourselves more. You know, and it's like, you know, for 25 years, I've been told not to express myself. And now I'm being told express myself, you know, so it becomes, you know, we have to learn how to begin to break those cycles. And it begins by, you know, stopping, because we've been trying to put dirt on the potter's wheel for so long in that area of our life. We have to stop doing that. We have to stop realizing or stop accepting the things that happen to us. We have to stop letting those things define us. You know, yeah, those things are outside forces that do sometimes shape the vessel. Right. You know, sometimes those things do. They apply pressure and shape the vessel, but they don't define the material the vessel is made out of.
Right.
You know.
And that's it. And I like how you explained it last week, too, is because use it like they say. You say people don't really accept you because you're a pastor that's so transparent about their past. That, but you use that as your testimony in knowing that it could help someone else in the future. It's not like you're ashamed of anything you've done. You've done it. It's in the past. You move on from it, and now you share it as a part of your testimony. So don't forget about it. yeah, it's going to be, but don't let it shape your character in a way where it's going to negatively impact your life.
Right. Yeah. I don't believe that. Like, I don't believe you should forget it to the point where you act as if, like, oh, it'll never happen, never happen. Like, yeah, as far as, like, God's concerned and repentance is concerned, he forgets it as far as the East is from the West. And, you know, I get that. But at the same time, too, if I forget where it is that I came from, then I won't understand how much of a blessing it is to be who I am. Like, to really understand who I am right now and understand how much of a blessing it is for me to be who I am right now and how calm and chill I am right now, even though, you know, I may have my moments, you got to understand how much of a savage I used to be. You know, what I was like when I used to run the streets, what I was like when I used to be, you know, living in the world and, you know, as a different person, to understand the level of grace that I live under. And because I understand that, I try to afford that to other people as well, because I know where I came from, you know. And it's like the, what is it, the movie Moana, you know, we know where we're going because of where we've been type of concept. It's kind of like that. And I understand that there's areas of my life that I still can't put on the wheel. I still can't present to my future because it's still dirt. I still need to refine it. I still need to make it and mold it. And it was funny because, you know, I mean, you know, I made this great big decision this weekend, right? And then Sunday, I preach what I preach. And then Monday, I get a swift kick in the gut. You know, and I have to live out what it was I was just talking about and preaching about. And, you know, I was talking to somebody else today and they were like, you know, sometimes you got to let go and let God do it. You got to stop trying to drive when God's trying to drive and take you somewhere. You got to sit in the passenger seat. And, you know, I was like, yeah, you know, it's like, God, listen, I don't mind walking it out, but give me a couple days first, you know, like slow down a little bit.
Right.
But that's the beauty of the ministry that God's blessed me with is that I have the ability to minister out of experience. And the things that I talk about, the things, you know, they're things that I have done or I'm going through. I've gone through it or I'm currently going through it, right. You know. And so it's a level of personal experience that I'm able to talk about. And even talking about not putting dirt on the potter's wheel, I don't know how many times I've put dirt on the potter's wheel, you know, where I've tried to jump the gun on things. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you know, try to, you know, jump into the, you know, into the pastorate and fall flat on my face. Try to start a business, fall flat on my face. Why? Not because I'm not called to those things, but because I wasn't yet the clay. I was still the pile of dirt, you know. And we don't like the process because the process is painful. The process doesn't feel good. The process exposes stuff.
The process sucks.
The process does suck. The process legitimately sucks. Like, you
that's
think
why when you said like the submission part, like that's like getting like submitted to something and then just like going through it like that, like.
Well, I mean, you think about coaches, right? In any sport. Like, yeah, you might love your coach, but honestly, how great are those training sessions?
They suck.
They suck. They are pushing you to do things you would not do on your own. I mean, honestly, think about it. They are pushing you to do things that you would not do on your own. They are not there to be your friend. They are not there to patty cake with you. They are not there to smile and laugh and joke. You know, my drill sergeant in the Army, his job was not to be cool and to be chill with me. He didn't care if I hated his guts or not, because at the end of the day, his job was to turn me into a soldier. As long as he did that, my personal feelings didn't matter.
Right.
You know? And so we have to be okay with that process, because turning dirt into clay, there's a crushing, there's the water and the other materials that are involved, and there's that sifting and shaking that takes place. So it's an uncomfortable, painful process. And then even when we become the clay and we start being shaped, there's the pressure that's applied. You're spinning on the potter's wheel. And so there's the changing in the environment and the atmosphere, and there's the moving and the pressure that's being applied. And then sometimes, like we talked about Sunday night, sometimes we kind of take a dip to one side or the other, and then you got to start over. You get crushed and you got to start all over. But even after the vessel's formed, we still haven't arrived. There's still another step to the process. We got to go into the fire. You know, so even after we step into our purpose, we're still not done with the process. And I think a lot of people forget that. A lot of people think that once they finally step into the fullness of their purpose, or what they think their purpose is, what they believe it is that they're called to do, whether they're a teacher, whether they're, you know, they're slipping into, you know, like you're stepping into that next level of your purpose, stepping into politics. You know, we have people that, you know, are teachers. I don't believe, see, when I talk about when people are stepping into their calling, stepping into their purpose, I don't believe that that's like strictly ministry. Like, people are called to be teachers. People are called to be truck drivers. People are called to own businesses. People are called to be auditors. People are called into politics. People are called to be, you know what I mean? Like, people are purposed to be different things in life, because these different things in life are needed in order for our society to continue to progress, you know? And so it would be foolish to think otherwise. And that's why I believe that the, you know, regardless of what position you held, you hold, you should be treated with the same level of respect as anyone else, regardless of what your job title is, you know. And, you know, so it's like, you know, well, why do you tip well? Why do you treat servers well? Because they're people. That's why. That's why. You know, there's no other, well, because they deal with my food. No, because they're people. It is what it is, you know. It's not complicated, you know. But I believe people are called and purposed to do various different things in life. And when you begin to walk in your purpose and in the fullness of your purpose, that's when you hit that next step. Like, when you really find your niche, that's when you really start to get refined and you're built. And that's when you step into the fire. And that's when you start going, man, am I really supposed to be doing this? Like, really?
That's when you gotta endure it.
Exactly. And that's when it gets hot. That's when it gets a little frustrating. You start feeling the fire and it's like, man, everything led me to this. I fought for this, but now I'm starting to second guess it. You know, business was booming, now it ain't looking so hot. Man, everybody was behind me, supporting me. Now they're nowhere to be found. You know, man, everybody said they loved my preaching and they were going to come to the church. Now ain't nobody want to show up. You know, it just all these different things. And you really got to, that's where you really got to understand, am I truly who I am? Am I the vessel that I believe I am? And if you've trusted the process the whole time, if you understood who you were as the dirt, if you went through the process to become the clay, if you went through the process as the clay on the wheel, if you allowed yourself to be shaped on a wheel, and you came off the wheel as the vessel, then you should be all right going through the fire. You know, if you've been through all that, you know, Jan says, I have a purpose, but I'm still struggling to accept it. You know, sometimes that's, Jan, sometimes that's some of the, one of the biggest things, you know, is accepting it. You know, because sometimes it's because of the level of responsibility. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's new. Sometimes it's you can't figure out the why me behind it, or the you know, man, there's no way I should be able to do it, you know, or the gravity of the responsibility behind it, you know. So I definitely understand that. Steve says, my purpose involves virtual life in video games. What do you mean by that, Steve? Involves virtual life. Save the ones and zeros. Okay. You know, but you know, Jan, it is sometimes. It's hard to accept. Sometimes it's hard to accept. For me, stepping back into my purpose, I was at a point in my life. For those of you that don't know, I'm gonna share a little bit. So, was called into ministry. And I was 15, 16 years old, called into ministry, and went into the military, got out of the military, Started pastoring a church in Jacksonville, Florida. Unfortunately, went through a divorce. When I started going through the divorce, I struggled with myself because I didn't feel that I had a right or that I should be behind a pulpit because I couldn't keep my family together. What right did I have to try to pastor and keep a church together? So I stepped out of the pulpit. Not that there was any hope of keeping my family together, but I just didn't feel I should be behind a pulpit. I became very bitter, very angry with God, and I threw my hands up in the air and I said, you know what, I've been trying to do it your way, I'm just going to do it my way. And for several years, I did just that. I did it my way. I walked away from the church and just kind of did my own thing. And my son actually is one of the huge reasons that I came back to God and that I came back to ministry and got my life right again, was because he kept asking me, he said, Dad, when are you going to preach again? You go to church this weekend? You know, you going back to church? When are you going to preach? Did you preach? Did you preach? He would just randomly ask me these questions. And so finally, I started getting my life kind of together. And I did a lot of things I wasn't proud of. And got my life back together, started going back to church. But I still couldn't bring myself to get into ministry. I didn't feel that I should, that I had any right, because it wasn't like I was doing things out of ignorance. I knew exactly what I was doing, and the things that I was doing were contrary to what it was that I said I believed. And so I struggled with that a lot, you know, stepping back into my calling, stepping back into my purpose. So I didn't want to get back on the wheel. I was happy being the lump of clay. I didn't necessarily digress all the way back to the dirt necessarily, but I didn't want to get back on the wheel. And so I struggled with accepting what my purpose was. And my life was always kind of stagnant. I was kind of back on track with God, but I wasn't back into my purpose, the fullness of my purpose. And a lot of it was because I couldn't accept it. I didn't feel that I should because of all the things that I did. And I wrestled with that for a long time. And I finally just, accepted the grace and forgiveness and went ahead and accepted that call and finally got right and realized that it really didn't have anything to do with me. And so I was able to get back on that wheel and allow him to start making me the vessel that I was supposed to be. It was a process for me. So it's sometimes for different people, for different reasons, it's hard to accept. So, definitely understand that. And it is a process. And if you're not ready to hop on the wheel, he's patient, with things in life. And if you're on the wheel, but you're just not quite ready to, you're not done being shaped and formed and come off the wheel and go into the kiln to get fired, then that's okay too. No, I definitely understand. It is difficult to try to do it on your own, and sometimes it's.
I think that's important to know that, like, we can't do it all on our own. Mm-hmm. That we need that companionship, kind of like we were talking. Like, we need to, as men, like, talk to each other about that kind of stuff. Maybe like, you find like an accountability partner, someone you could talk to. Uncle Ty's really good at that. But I'm always on his phone talking to him. So Jan, you can't have Uncle Ty. Maybe Dr. Harvey can help you.
But, it's interesting sometimes too, because sometimes talking to, someone, naturally sometimes doesn't always happen. Right. And from a spiritual perspective, from a faith perspective, even when you've lost that faith, you're trying to drive around and get from point A to point B. And I know back in the day, I didn't have the GPS, right? The GPSs. I had to rely on an actual road atlas. And so here I am trying to drive down the highway and flip through the road atlas and, do the unsafe thing, of course. Because, back in the day, we were all about not being safe. And trying to read the atlas and drive down the highway at the same time. It would have been so much easier had somebody been there reading the map off to me. And the funny thing is we really do have God sitting there in that passenger seat. He'll let us drive. Like, that's, a lot of times people are like, oh yeah, God wants to drive. And yeah, sure, he will. But he really wants to let us drive, and he just wants to guide us along the way. You know, he wants to give you the direction. You just got to ask him for the direction and let him give it to you, and let him talk. So it's not always, you know, not always easy to hear him sometimes. You can always hear him. Sometimes you got to turn the radio down a little bit. You know, I like to blast my music when I'm driving. But sometimes to hear whoever I got in the passenger seat and let them, you know, they got to let me know I got to get off on the exit. I got to turn it down a little bit. And the same thing's true in our spiritual life. Sometimes we got to turn it down. But, you know, the same thing is true when we're talking about that process of becoming, you know, dirt to clay, to being on the potter's wheel and then becoming the vessel that gets fired in the kiln. You know, in order for wine to be made, grapes have to be crushed. You know, there's the process in order for there to be wine. You know, in order for, you know, when you're taking a test, the teacher's always quiet. You know, and so there's processes sometimes. And sometimes, yeah, hey, sometimes God seems quiet. You might be taking the test, you know. And the beautiful thing is when you take your road test oftentimes, right, if you fail it, what happens? You got to take it again. Just like that clay on the wheel, it became marred in the hand of the potter, right? It wasn't going the way the potter wanted it to go, so he went ahead and crushed it and started over. He didn't throw the clay away. It's important to note that he didn't throw the clay away. He kept working with that same lump of clay. He just started over. You know what? Let's go back to the beginning and start over. He didn't throw the clay away. So it doesn't matter how much you've messed up, how many times you've messed up, slipped up, made the mistake, how far away your faith seems, how much you're struggling, how much frustration you've had, how far you've walked away, this, that, or the other, how many times the business has failed, how many times you've, you know, talked to people and they've blown you off, how many times you failed the test. It really doesn't matter. You're still going to have the opportunity to get built back up. Like if I take my driver's test and I fail 18 times, I still can take it the 19th time and try to pass it. If I don't pass it, oh well, I'll go ahead and take it the 20th time. It is what it is, you know. And that's the same thing. It's important to recognize that when we talk about the potter and the clay, is that when he marred the clay, he didn't start with a new piece of clay. He kept working with that same piece of clay, you know. So as long as you're willing to be there on the wheel, he's willing to work with you. You know, and so as long as you're willing to trust the process, he'll keep working with you. You still have an opportunity as long as you're willing to trust the process. That doesn't mean that you won't get frustrated. That doesn't mean you won't get discouraged. That doesn't mean it won't be difficult. That doesn't mean it won't be hard. That doesn't mean you won't have difficult days. It doesn't mean you won't get angry. It doesn't mean you won't pop off sometimes. I mean, it happens. It's life.
I think Gideon's a good one to look at.
Mm-hmm.
One, he thought he was underqualified for to go into battle like that, and then he has an army, and then God cuts it down to like 300 people. How many was it in the army?
Mm-hmm.
Gideon's army, and slashes them down. Like if I was going into battle against a whole tribe of people and only got it cut down to however many it was, I can't remember, but I would be like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not accepting that. I'm not accepting that call. And then he just goes through and wins the battle. But to Jan's point earlier.
Well, look at it like this. When we talk about Peter, what do we talk about, right? What's one of the biggest things Peter's known for?
Killing Christians.
Peter, not Paul. Peter.
Peter.
What's one of the biggest things Peter's known for?
What did he do?
He denied Christ, right? Three times. Right? He denies Christ. When Christ was resurrected, and the angels tell Mary and Martha, right? They say what? Go tell the disciples and Peter. Only one that got singled out. Go tell the disciples and Peter. And he tells Peter upon this rock. He specifically talks to Peter. You know, and Peter was the one, Peter was the only one that recognized Jesus when they were out there on the boat in a storm. He was the only one that got out of the boat. He was the only one that recognized who Jesus was and was able to walk on a word. Like, we criticize Peter a lot because, oh, he took his eyes off Jesus. Oh, he denied Jesus three times. Oh, he denied. Yeah, he did, but he was the only one that recognized Jesus for who Jesus was.
Right.
You know, he was the only one that trusted his word enough. So, you know, I think it's important to recognize these things. Like, Peter got marred in the hand of the potter, but the potter kept working with that clay.
Okay.
You know. And it happens. You do. You get discouraged. You get frustrated. You get aggravated. Like even Lazarus, right? Lazarus dies, and Jesus says, "You know what? I'm glad that this happened for your sake." Like what? What? Wait a minute. You glad? Like
he
bruh.
Come to get away though. He was just like took his good old time.
Like bruh. What? Yeah, Andy took his time getting there. Right.
He just took his time.
Because at the end of the day, like we talked about last week, your call is not a conference call, man. Your process from dirt to clay to wheel to kiln has nothing to do with anyone else.
Lazarus' sisters were mad. They were pretty upset.
Hey, it is between you and God. Your purpose in life does not revolve around anyone else. So stop allowing people that are not qualified to validate your purpose to validate it. Stop. You don't need to validate parking. Stop. Because you're not parking. You're driving through.
Keep it moving.
So I want to encourage you. Don't despise the process. Trust the process. Stop trying to put dirt on the potter's wheel. Allow yourself to go through the process. Acknowledge the areas in your life that are still dirt and allow that dirt to become clay. Allow it to become a material that can be used so you can get on the potter's wheel. You can be molded into the vessel and walk in the fullness of your purpose. All right, you guys, appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Ezra, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Hey, definitely, definitely. It's always good to have another voice on here, another perspective, chiming in. Definitely like that. Join us tomorrow night on a house call at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. And check us out on Facebook Live on the Reflections with Dr. Gary Harvey page. Also, if you haven't already, subscribe to the YouTube channel under the same title, Reflections with Dr. Gary Harvey. Help us out there as well. Also, if you haven't already and you've enjoyed the content, any of the content that we've posted, go ahead and hit us up with a review on the Facebook page. It helps us with the algorithm and helps us grow. We definitely got some things in the work. Like we said, we got another show coming out. We'll have some more information on that as well as we continue to grow and build this media hub. Definitely, definitely excited about that. Really appreciate all the love and the support you guys are showing us. And later this week, got some other, we kind of teased it earlier last week or later last week. Definitely got some more information coming later this week. It'll either be tomorrow or Friday. Either tomorrow or Friday, going to drop that I'll little nugget.
The show.
What's that?
The show on Friday.
On Friday?
I think so.
We'll see what happens. But definitely, definitely appreciate it. All you guys, thank you very much. Jan, Bridget. Steve, Jesse, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Those of you that are watching and listening that didn't say hello, thank you so much. We definitely appreciate all the love and support. And until next time, you guys, you pray for us, we'll pray for you, and we'll catch you next time on Reflections with Dr. Gary Harvey.